Blues.
Corey, Gordon Govier calling from Madison.
Hey, Gordon, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
Where are you at this morning?
Northern California.
You are, I think, based in Nashville now?
That's right, Nashville, Tennessee.
And what are you doing these days?
I am a part of a startup, an internet company that a group of five of us started earlier this year called ULOOP. U-L-O-O-P. And ULOOP is an online classifieds platform for colleges and universities. And we rolled out on our first campus in January, 12 campuses this spring, and we're planning now to roll out to 155 campuses this fall. So I had a great time with that.
So you're still involved in campus life?
Yeah, that's right.
Were you involved with InterVarsity before you got to the business school at Duke?
I wasn't. That was when I initially got involved in with InterVarsity, was during my time at Duke during business school.
Tell me a little bit about how that went.
Yeah, there was the leader of InterVarsity for the graduate students at Duke named Steve Hinkle, who I met early on in my time there at Duke, and so that's how I connected in with the InterVarsity group there. And it ended up being a great way to connect with folks across campus, across the different graduate school programs. And then there was an opportunity to go to an InterVarsity conference that first Christmas that I was in business school up in Chicago. And that was where I met John Terrell, who at the time helped to lead the MBA ministry for InterVarsity. And so I had a chance to spend some time with him during that conference and ended up staying with John a couple of times when I came up to Boston for other conferences. I continued to get to know him, and he became a mentor. I led the Christian Fellowship Group during my time at Fuqua, which is the business school there at Duke. And so John ended up being a great guide and helped to lead the way as far as the programs that we had and the people that we invited to speak, and ended up just being a really, really good mentor to me during that time.
So that was the Following Christ conference in Chicago, probably?
Yes.
What year was
correct.
That?
That would have been Christmas of 98.
Okay, and so that was a pretty significant event for you.
Yes, it ended up being a great time of connecting with John and also others at other graduate programs and other business schools. You know, there's another good friend of mine named Eric Goss. He was involved in leading the Christian Fellowship at University of Michigan. And Eric and I became good friends then and have worked together in a number of capacities since that time. So there's a number of friendships and relationships that came out of that conference that year.
So you were already a believer when you got to Fuqua?
Yes.
And Christian Fellowship was a priority for you?
Yes, very much so. In fact, that was one of the first things that I sought out when I arrived at Duke, was in a church to get plugged into and then also a fellowship community to get involved in there at Duke.
And maintaining that integration of your faith with your personal professional life is something that's continued then on after school. It's been a major theme for you.
Once I graduated from Duke, I ended up moving out to the Silicon Valley, and there was a group of us that formed Silicon Valley Fellowship. And the group of us that ended up connecting to start Silicon Valley Fellowship, we ended up meeting at another InterVarsity conference in Boston. This would have been spring of 2000. And there were a number of the leaders of the Christian Fellowship groups from different business schools that were at this InterVarsity conference that spring. And a lot of us ended up coming out to the Silicon Valley. And we wanted to continue the fellowship that we had at our respective business schools, and so we started meeting regularly. And the Silicon Valley Fellowship came out of that. And Silicon Valley Fellowship was a marketplace ministry organization for young Christian business professionals in the Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And so we started off inviting more senior executives who were believers to come and to share how they applied their faith in their lives as business professionals. And so these dinner events ended up being a great way to hear from more senior executives as well as to connect with other young Christian business professionals in the Silicon Valley. And so Silicon Valley Fellowship continued to grow and develop from that summer of 2000, and actually continues today in the Silicon Valley. Continues to be a place where folks can connect for fellowship and also a chance to hear from some Christian executives in the area.
So it's still going on. Do you know about how many people participate?
Over the years, there have been a little over 1,000 different professionals in the Silicon Valley that have been involved in Silicon Valley Fellowship in one way or another, either through the dinner events that are held. There's also ministry consulting projects, leadership seminars, there are business mission trips that are led through an organization called EQIP, recently renamed REAP. And so there are a number of different initiatives that have come out of Silicon Valley Fellowship. So quite a few folks from around the Silicon Valley that have been involved in Silicon Valley Fellowship over the years.
And was that where you got the idea of putting together a book, a devotional book?
Yes, the Devotional Ventures Project stemmed from that time. This was a couple of years back when the Devotional Ventures Project started. And the way that started was through Silicon Valley Fellowship. There ended up being some fantastic speakers that shared during these different events. And we were wrestling with what the different ways were to get that content out to a broader audience, to be able to share those stories. And so that was the impetus for Devotional Ventures. We ended up building a website on top of a blogging platform, devotionalventures.org, and we started inviting folks that had been involved in Silicon Valley Fellowship to come and to write stories about how they apply their faith in their lives as business professionals. And then we went beyond the Silicon Valley and started inviting folks to contribute writings and stories. And this collection of stories we ended up taking to a group of publishers and identified a publisher to work with to compile these different stories of applications of faith in business. And from that came Devotional Ventures, which is a book that was released earlier this year in January. And it's a compilation of 60 different stories from different business people around the country, from, you know, companies such as, you know, eBay and Google and Coca-Cola and Boeing and Intel and Microsoft, stories from entrepreneurs, men and women, more senior executives, as well as business school students. So a lot of variety as far as the stories that were shared. But that was the impetus for Devotional Ventures, is going back to those early days of Silicon Valley Fellowship.
And what has been the response to the book so far? How would you characterize it?
Well, it's been very encouraging. It's been fun to see how it's not only a great book for devotional time, for an individual who wants to spend time in the Bible each day and to learn from others about how different folks apply their faith in their lives as business professionals, but it's also been a book that we're seeing that's being used with small groups, both on campuses as well as in churches. And we're also finding that a number of pastors and church leaders are enjoying Devotional Ventures as well to better understand, you know, what life is like as a Christian business professional and what some of the issues are that we wrestle with as business people who are seeking to live our lives devoted to Jesus.
How about small groups that meet in a business setting?
Yes, that as well. I mean, it's been encouraging to see that there are a number of settings where Devotional Ventures is being utilized. You know, definitely in business settings, in churches, you know, groups that meet outside of those settings, just in a home or a restaurant. So yes, it's been very encouraging to see that.
Well, the timing seems to be pretty good because this business as mission concept seems to really be hitting the marketplace now, and you're seeing more and more media treatment of how people are reflecting their faith and their business dealings.
There's an organization called EQIP that recently renamed REAP that came out of the Silicon Valley that trained and continues to train business people and take them on business-specific mission trips to various parts of the world. This is an organization that stemmed from the Silicon Valley Fellowship early days. And there's a couple, Brett and Lynn Johnson, who lead REAP. And they're now taking numerous teams a year, not only from the Silicon Valley, but from other parts of the country, to work with business leaders in other parts of the world, in India and Indonesia, in South Africa, and they're continuing to build relationships with other countries as well. And so it's been exciting to see how, you know, in the Silicon Valley, as well as in a number of other places around the country, that business people are realizing that we can utilize our skills and our giftings and apply them in a missions context in other parts of the world as business people. So, yes, it's been very exciting to see.
I guess another part of this is just reflecting Christian principles in the daily business dealings in the past. Well, I guess there's always a tendency for some people to separate church from the rest of their lives, and the whole business's mission is focused on integrating the two.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is something that I wrestled with just coming out of business school. And before I started my time at eBay was my first job out of business school. And during that time in between Duke and when I started at eBay was a time that I really wrestled with the concept of full-time ministry and what full-time ministry looked like. You know, my father's a pastor and always felt led and called to be in ministry. And so coming out of business school, I was really wrestling with whether I was being called into church work or to work with a nonprofit Christian organization or if I was truly called to be in the marketplace. And I spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time, you know, with mentors of mine, with my mother and father, and really wrestling to understand what it looked like to be called to ministry and to be called to business. And coming out of that time, one of the biggest things that I learned is that full-time ministry is much more than just working at a church or a nonprofit Christian organization, but that as business people, we can be in full-time ministry as well, mm-hmm. and doing what we're called to do and utilizing our skills and giftings and in that context. And so that's been encouraging for me to come to that realization and to be able to continue to be in business and to serve in that capacity and be in ministry in that capacity.
I had a chance to spend a little bit of time with Rick Warren during Urbana. He was talking about a phone call that he got from the CEO of Adidas. And the guy called up and said, "Hey, I read your book and I became a Christian and now I want to know whether I should quit my job and go into the ministry or, you know, what should I do?" And Rick Warren said, "Don't quit your job. You know, you're the pastor to, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of people now that work in your business. And
right.
you're also, you know, the best witness you can give to other CEOs and people like yourself is as another CEO and not as a pastor." So he gave five reasons to stay in his business because that was his chance to have the most impact as a Christian.
Right. It's a wonderful platform.
Now, where does the name come from, Devotional Ventures? Was that a struggle, or was that pretty clear?
Devotional Ventures came pretty quickly, just in thinking about you know, the devotional setting and spending time in Scripture, and then with ventures being a very active word, and in thinking about, you know, how we live out our faith as business professionals was where, you know, those two words, devotional ventures, came from.
Kind of appeals to the entrepreneur.
Yes, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And as a business professional, you know, we're very much creating as business people. And, you know, God creates through us. And so so with the, you know, the title of the book, Devotional Ventures, you know, both connects with the time that we spend with the Lord and Scripture. And then also the very, you know, active concept of being in business and creating.
Where did you do your undergrad?
University of Tennessee.
Okay. And you said your dad is a pastor?
That's correct.
What church is that?
He is on staff at First Baptist Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Okay.
When I was growing up, he was the teaching pastor at First Baptist Lebanon, Tennessee. He now heads up a counseling center called the Babb Center, at First Baptist Hendersonville.
Do you feel like this book may lead to more, like a follow-up or sequel or anything like that? Or where is this taking you?
There is an opportunity for additional devotional ventures books. In fact, just over the last couple of weeks, we've been having conversations with our publisher about a follow-on project. And there's nothing that's been formalized yet, but there are a number of ideas that we have that we've been spending time developing. So it's going to be exciting to see where that takes us.
Now, I ask you about the impact. Have you heard any specific stories about that you can relate about somebody who read it and how it impacted them?
One of the stories that comes to mind came from a pastor, and this was a pastor out in the Silicon Valley. He pastors a church plant, and he has a number of business people in his congregation. And one of the things that he shared that he was encouraged by is number one, he was talking about how much he learned about how to relate to and encourage the business people in his congregation. And he also mentioned that he leads a small group, and many of the folks in his particular small group were business people, and that he was excited to be able to use devotional ventures in this small group.
I think you mentioned that it really helps pastors relate to the people in their congregations. I think maybe that's one of the most valuable aspects to it.
Right.
That covers the questions I had, Corey. Was there anything else that you wanted to make sure got mentioned?
Well, as far as it relates to devotional ventures, you know, one of the things that's been exciting is that it's definitely been a group effort. You know, there's 60 different contributing writers in devotional ventures, and so it's been fun to be able to read the stories, you know, learn from others. We've also partnered with three ministries to do this book project, InterVarsity being one of them, Equip, now called REAP, being one of them, and then another organization called Priority Associates. And Priority Associates, REAP, and InterVarsity have been involved in the Devotional Ventures Project from the beginning and have contributed both as far as identifying contributing writers, getting the word out about Devotional Ventures, and also, you know, 100% of the profits from Devotional Ventures goes to support ministry through InterVarsity, REAP, and Priority Associates. And so we're excited not only to be able to show the content of Devotional Ventures, but to be able to be actively involved in ministry through InterVarsity, Priority Associates, and REAP as well.
Okay, great. Well, that's fantastic. Appreciate the chance to talk with you, Corey.
Thanks so much for being able to share. I appreciate it.
Glad to do it.